Welcome, everybody. It's time again for another episode of Confident ROI, the only show dedicated to helping you find the right tool to improve your company, whether you own, lead, or work in it. From the man who's done it all, Alex Vorobyev. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Paul.
Well, I'm not sure I'm ready for this show today here because there's black helicopters circling the building right now here, and I don't. You apparently have some Agent X with you here today.
We do. We have a special guest today. We're taking a little different angle than normal. Our guest is not going to reveal his identity, so he can be more open and share with the audience.
Do we have to blur his face or anything here?
It might not hurt, but
it could be an improvement.
I want him to keep his employment. He's going to be talking about his entire career, not just his current position, but his entire career, and I know him quite well, and he's not afraid to share his opinion, so I won't let him share his name. Because he's worked in Fortune 500 health companies during his career, and he's seen a lot of business concepts and tools, frankly, applied to him and to his peers from above in the healthcare industry, and he's got a unique perspective, and he's going to share it with our audience today. So I'm really excited about it. I'm calling it Agent X.
Agent X, you can call me Big Dog, call me whatever you like, but thanks for having me here today, Alex. One thing I'd like to say is I am no longer with a couple of these companies, but it was interesting because they spared no expense in working with consultants and trying to get an edge on the competition. Two of the companies, just so you get a feel for who I've been with in my past, have been Johnson & Johnson and Medtronic, which I think probably are number one and number two in healthcare, Medtronic and device, and then Johnson & Johnson overall. So I've seen the best of the best, and I've seen some things go really well, and I've seen some things go not so well.
Let's get you to move the mic a little bit closer to you there, so we can keep you anonymous here.
Yeah, and let's talk to Johnson & Johnson Medtronic's legal division. The opinions and views of Agent X are Agent X's.
Yes, and I am no longer there, so.
Well, why don't you start off with what you've seen a lot. What was some of the best concepts or consultants or ideas you've ever seen in your career? Anything that really stood out? Like, man, that really helped.
Yeah, I think some of the consultants that we've worked with, for instance, came from the Sales Executive Council, which is a group that we, I guess, worked with. They're the Corporate Executive Board, Sales Executive Council, Marketing Council, and they provided a lot of the insight and best practices when I was with one of those two companies that we used. And the direction there, really, the best thing I saw they broke out was coaching. In other words, rather than being a manager, really at the regional level, at the area level, and even at the national level, being a coach. So really just establishing the organization as a coaching or coaching as a priority in the organization to not only boost performance, to hold off on turnover, and thirdly, just to get a better feel of better communication with your employees. So that was one thing that went really well.
So what do you mean by coaching? Was it kind of a Woody Hayes, get in your face, grab you by the lapels, and get your mind right?
Well, it was more that than it was somebody just sitting behind a desk and managing through a laptop in their regional office or their area office. So it actually was more than that. It was getting a lot of touches with people, getting out and getting into the field and working with your reps rather than just managing the metrics or managing your dashboard remotely. So it was getting involved, and it was also coaching them before the call, finding out what your role was in the call when you're going in to present to the C-suite, and then also just, you know, I guess to boil it down, it really came to feedback, providing feedback. And feedback, I think Ken Blanchard said it, was the breakfast of champions. So really coaching was providing good directional feedback.
And so that was something that they taught you, the team, was feedback not something that was ingrained before that?
Yeah, you know, you'd be surprised how you get in your silos and you start to take the easy way out and you forget some of the basics. And just like you mentioned Woody Hayes grabbing by the lapels, well, that's the basics, right? The basics is just getting with your people and communicating and a lot of touches. So what you find a lot of times is you start to get lazy and people don't go out and work with their people, visit the key customers. And it was kind of going back to that and then taking it one step further, providing good feedback.
And what's an example of good feedback?
Good feedback is not just verbally, but when you leave the person or you move on, providing written feedback. Because as you know, a lot of things, people don't always listen, things don't sink in. But if you say it and you follow up with something in writing as far as the direction or a contract that you two are working on, it then seals it. It makes it permanent. People really take notice when you put something in writing.
And you remember being on either end of feedback that really it either worked, you were given it, or on the other side you were the recipient, like, oh geez.
Yeah, I think it always works. I think feedback always works. You may disagree with it, and that might be a separate conversation. But the feedback, at least you know somebody's paying attention and somebody knows what's going on with your business plan and your vision.
But you. Agent X, do you remember an episode? Could you share a story about feedback and it working?
Yeah, sure. I mean, feedback was from the CEO of the company who seemed to think that at the time I was having some turnover, and he put in writing in regards to getting closer, following the rules of coaching, and really the turnover had nothing to do with my coaching. I was keeping the team together the best I could. I had over 90 employees at the time, but turnover was rampant because of a lack of a pipeline, a lack of a vision on his part, by the way, on his part. So that was feedback that I disagreed with, but it certainly brought to my attention the importance of retention of our reps.
So how'd you handle that? He's telling you you need to retain reps, and you're losing reps because you think it's something, you know, the company had some issues. How did that go down?
Well, that kind of takes us into the no-fly zone, right? Because
yeah.
now he doesn't want to listen. In that particular instance, sometimes you have to get a feel for who you're dealing with. And in that situation, it really wasn't someone who could take what I would consider honest feedback.
Well, let's move on from the feedback in that. What's any other business tools out there that you have been tried on you in your position that just drove you nuts, gave you headaches, and frankly didn't get a return on investment?
Yeah, I'd say I'm glad you asked that, because you know we put a lot of money into tools and how to be more profitable and get your arms around the business, and I think the biggest fraud going right now, from what I've seen in many of the companies I go with, and I try when I arrive, try to do away with it quickly, is Salesforce.com. I think it's a joke. I'd love to see a study done on the lack of, I guess, morale, or the effect of team morale and individual morale and turnover based on Salesforce.com. What you're trying to do is you're trying to put creative sales and marketing people into a whole square peg, round hole type thing. And it's miserable. It is miserable.
Can you give us an example of what it's done? A story or something? And
yeah, sure. Sure. Well, first of all, for CRM, if you want customer information, it is good. All right? But it can also be done with a spreadsheet. But it's a very expensive way to make sure you understand who all the customers are. The second thing, in terms of forecasting and building the funnel and planning, it's just garbage in and garbage out. And that's what you see. You try to make upper management, we try to make decisions based on what people are putting into Salesforce.com, where if you rode with a salesperson at the ground level, something's due for an update on Friday and they're just throwing in whatever they want, right? There's not a whole lot of thought to it. And so it's the kind of the garbage in, garbage out experience, and you're making bad decisions based on reps who are fighting the system. Also, does that answer your question?
Have you seen high performers? Have you seen it hurt their performance? I mean, how does Salesforce really hurt a company? Okay, we want to get to know our customers better. We're going to implement Salesforce. What? And you're saying, hey, maybe they're not putting the right information. Does it hurt sales? Does it use up time? What is it? Examples you can think of?
Yeah, well, just feedback from some of the best reps in some of the companies when we've tried to force Salesforce.com down their throat is that it's an paralysis by analysis. now you're micromanaging me. And I'll tell you, for the most part, your peak performers in the organization do not want to be micromanaged. They don't want Big Brother. And now you're training the managers to follow up on data that they put into Salesforce.com where, you know, it's not important to them. So they put in garbage, right? At the end of the week, they have to update, say on Friday night, their Salesforce.com funnel, and they're just throwing in whatever because they're on the way. They just had a great week. They're on the way to celebrate with their families or hit the bar, hit the gym or whatever. They're not putting much thought into it. And so that's, you're making a lot of bad decisions based on bad information.
So what's senior management to do? You're talking to hundreds and thousands of customers, and you got a lot of money tied up and you're investing in people to go out there and communicate them. What are they to do? Just sit back and wait? What are the optimal tools to get a return on investment on large sales forces?
Yeah, it's almost back to old school. It's back to old school in terms of you don't need, and by the way, have you ever tried to use Salesforce.com? You put, unless you're sitting at your desk every day entering in information, the thing is not easy to use. And then I guess they sold us on the fact that now you can do it on your phone. Well, good luck with that. That's not easy. So, and then by the way, you put an entry in and you can't remove it unless you go to like IT, and it's, once an entry's in there, you can't remove it. You make a mistake, it's very unforgiving. So what's management supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? It's what I've done, and that's implement the old school. Let's go back to spreadsheets. Let's make it minimal. Let's make it in a user-friendly for the reps, and let's get it done.
So does that end up taking more time for management? Does it, you know, go in old school? How do you get that information if you're not on the ride along and it's Thursday night and the update's due for the Friday meeting?
Yeah, great question. You know, it is if you're not for the ride along, then you at least got to be talking to your reps, right? Talking to them once a week or as much as possible, whatever is needed, and that's when you get it. It's almost an interviewing style, right? And then you send back what they've committed to and what they're forecasting, and it goes a lot easier. So as far as, you know, what are we supposed to do? It's spreadsheets. But if you do it, you sell the team on, look, I'm not going to make you do anything that doesn't help you make money. They can buy into that. And you do the form according to that, it works.
So why can't the Salesforce be presented? I'm worried about Salesforce.com, you know?
Yes.
And to their lawyers, this is Agent X's own opinion and not the opinion of confident
on.
ROI, because they got that big skyscraper going up in San Francisco needs to be paid for, right?
Yeah.
So sure, it's got a mortgage. You know, how do you make it more? Why can't you pitch Salesforce the same way? Hey, we're just going to help you make more money. We're going to learn more what's working.
I think it's the rigidity of it. It's not really designed. You'd be surprised. It's called Salesforce.com, but it's not designed for the key user, the salesperson who's inputting the data. It's not designed with them in mind. It's not easy to use. It's a tough sell. We've tried it. It's tough. You're up against a wall. Where we've introduced it early on, people are like, oh, I see the way this is going. Okay, this is, all right, we're going to start doing these spreadsheets and have to get on the computer. And all of a sudden, the attitude starts to go downhill a little bit. I tell people, when they want to get into the healthcare business and they're asking about companies to interview with or smaller companies, and I don't know about the smaller company, I just tell them, question to ask is, how are you using CRM? How do you use Salesforce.com? And if they say they're using Salesforce.com, I tell them to run.
Well, so you're a little ambiguous on your advice. You know?
And I've seen upper management also, and talking to people, they bring it in. That's their contribution when they come into the organization or they get promoted. They bring in Salesforce.com, and it's going to solve all the problems. It only creates problems. It makes for bad decisions.
All right. Well, we're going to head to break, and when we come back, we'll go in more with Agent X.
Do you want a free analysis of your inbound marketing? Do you want it in 30 seconds or less? Then check out Marketing Grader, the free marketing tool from HubSpot. It's simple. Just go to marketinggrader.com, enter the URL that you want to analyze, and Marketing Grader will instantly give you a detailed report grading your lead generation, mobile marketing, social media, competitive benchmarking, and more. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's free. MarketingGrader.com.
And if you're enjoying the Confident ROI radio show today here, check out ROI, Confident ROI magazine. That's right, there's a written publication you can put in your hand. We've got one right here today. The new issue has two articles about CEOs that were facing challenging times and what tools help them advance their companies and get beyond those. When they needed most a return on their investment, they turned to Confident ROI. You can either tune in and listen, or you can now pick it up and read it at your favorite newsstand or pick up a subscription. And there are articles from thought leaders like Vern Harnish on strategy and Dr. Brad Smart on top grading, discussing a low-cost way to remove your hiring headaches. Boy, there's something we'd all like to learn more about. So, if you want, you can sign up now for a free print or digital version of the magazine at ConfidentROI.com. That's ConfidentROI.com. Discover the right tool to advance your company. And I'm sure your guest has picked up a copy here. I'm sure he's already got one here. Let's hold it up again for the camera. Let's just show everybody what it is. It's like a real magazine. This is a real deal.
It's a real magazine. I'm 24% more authentic now with the magazine.
That's right, exactly. Wow. Well, everybody's tweeting in and wants to know, why doesn't he tell us what he really thinks? Why is he holding back his opinions on these things here?
You know, maybe it's because I didn't get invited to the, I think they call it the Salesforce.com user conference.
There is a user conference.
Yeah, and Metallica played, and I did not get invited to that.
I think this is just bitter grapes. Yeah, this is sour grapes, right?
Metallica's clearly more of a conformist, and they're in with the establishment now. Probably use Salesforce.com.
Somebody did tweet in and wanted, is there anything other than Salesforce? You don't like Salesforce because you don't like, you think it's too structured and too much for the top end and not for the sales user themselves. It's more to report and less to help them make money, it sounds like. Is there any other tools you did like?
You know, so far we're still searching. In fact, we're looking for it right now. But I got to tell you, even though we're a large organization, we're still using the spreadsheet, and we empower our managers or demand that they have all the information so that if we do get turnover, and that happens all the time.
Well, I'm going to invite you to tune in to our next show. The Sales Lead Management Association follows this show, and they talk about, every week, different CRM systems and different ways of automated marketing in and out, and Salesforce is just one of millions. There really are lots of them out there.
We would love to hear that.
Okay. Carry on.
At this point of the show, Agent X, we like to go into the mind of our guests and ask them about, was there a time when they had a difficult relationship with feedback, when they didn't want to confront reality or dealt with some emotional no-fly zones? Any stories in your background you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that's a very strong topic, because I know for a fact that the CEO of a very large Fortune 500 company right now says one of the biggest problems facing his organization is the lack of transparency and the ability to get good, honest feedback. And I think that comes about because the challenge there is this company started out small, bought other companies, then in turn was purchased, and it's gone through so many configurations. You have a whole collection of people in their own little camps, and nobody trusts anyone. So people pretty much, when they want to funnel up feedback, it's all stamped with by many people's approval that, okay, this isn't going to offend anybody. It may not be real, but you know what? We're just trying to save our jobs here. And I think a lot of times people are just trying to save their jobs without giving good, honest feedback. So that CEO and that organization has quite a challenge on his hands.
And so you mentioned that saving the jobs. Do you think that keeps people? Is that one of the reasons? Why do you think that CEO's got that problem?
CEO has that problem because they really don't want to get on somebody's bad side. I mean, you get some in the companies that I work for and have worked for. People come there because they are career oriented and they want to move up the corporate ladder, and they get trained very early. Don't say anything that's going to offend anyone, right? You got to say the right things. You may not be on board, and they may ask for your honest feedback, but you're stupid to give it because it's a death sentence.
So that's the common knowledge. Do people when you come in, you're out of school and you're a whippersnapper and you want to get ahead and you start giving your own opinion, Do they pull you aside and, like the old days with the union, tell you to slow down and working? Or?
Yeah, so yeah, it's very similar to that, right? I had summer jobs where I worked in a union back in college, and I know exactly that. But it is, some managers will actually, because they want to hone and control the messaging coming out of their teams, they will tell you that. Other ones will, I don't know if it's worse or better, but then they'll just start to freeze you out a little bit, like he doesn't get it. And hopefully by getting ignored, you start to come around. But the thing is, every manager or every director wants to control the messaging coming out of their team and their department, and therefore they craft it. And they craft a message that's totally inaccurate. And again, this CEO has quite a problem on his hands, and looking at the stock recently, maybe that's what's making it take a bad turn.
Yeah, can you think of a time when you were fighting because you felt you couldn't tell the truth, or you couldn't go there?
That's a daily battle. It is a daily battle, because what we're also working with here is egos, right? Mm-hmm. I was told very, very early in my career, it's all about ego. You gotta play to people's ego. And so if your direct supervisor or the CEO is making a decision that maybe you and many others don't agree with, it's gonna offend their ego. And you have to be really good at delivering that type of message. And usually it's done best anonymously.
So
if you can have somebody else say it, that's going to save your career.
So what's Agent X technique? You know, you got a product, you guys are having issues out in the field, you can't sell it, or you're not going to make the numbers, and they don't want to hear the truth. What are the techniques you use?
Alex, I got to tell you, I'm still working on that technique. Because I have suffered, because I do provide honest feedback, and I've polished myself up. It may not sound like it from this call or this show, but I've polished myself up with the delivery of that. But still, I have paid the price for delivering honest feedback. And it may not be totally apparent, but all of a sudden you find yourself maybe not in total alignment because you hurt someone's ego. That was somebody's baby you just said was not working, and they don't take that well. So I'm still working on that, and maybe that could be, I'd love to hear a guest on your show talk about how to deliver honest feedback without hurting your career.
What about on the other side? Have you been on the receiving end where somebody hurt your ego, your feelings, when they told you what they thought about Agent X?
Yeah, and it does. And that's where the human nature component comes in, right? It does hurt your ego. Now, I like to think that I sucked it up and adjusted, but there are times where
you think of one time it's like, man, that just hit me right in the nose.
Yeah, well, the comp plan. You know, when we design a comp plan for the sales organization, nobody's ever happy, right? And I will say it hurts a little bit, because you go and you wrestle with finance all week.
One of the things I'm sure you love the most.
Yes. Well, yes. Yes. In fact, yeah, that's a whole nother show as well. But you wrestle with them to get the best you can. And I obviously, people in the field, in the organization, don't realize how hard it is to get exactly what you want out of finance. And you walk away happy with what you've come up with. And then you hear the negative feedback. And so, yeah, it hits you. It's like, are they ungrateful? And so, yeah, that's the human nature.
Has it ever been helpful? Can you think of a time like, God, you know, someone told me that, but I'm glad they did.
Yeah.
I fired them or I hurt their career, but, you know, in retrospect, I'm really glad they told me that.
Yeah, seven years later, I thought it over. it does, though. You try to input it, and there's some good ideas that come out of the feedback from the comp plan. And you try to work it into maybe a quarterly spiff, and if you can't afford that, you try to put it into the comp plan for the following year. But, yeah, you do hear some good stuff, and the truth does hurt.
Yeah. Any emotional no-fly zones you ever remember that some bosses enforced about people or products or processes?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of no-fly zones. Like, we're going to, you know, despite, you know, being where we're at in the year 2018, there's still a lot of people where it's my way or the highway, right? And they don't want to hear any different, and so they're going to, you know, they might discuss it, but they're really not listening.
There's an off-ramp right there. There's a sign that says, my way or the highway
there
in the studio.
There it is, my way or the highway. And you still get a lot of that, and you get a lot of... The thing that's really, to me, is just really infuriating is that when you get the fake... They want to get your buy-in, so they're asking your feedback. but you know just through the history of dealing with whatever person or persons that they're going to listen, but they're not going to do it.
It's a sucker's request.
Exactly. So you feel better maybe venting for the afternoon, but nothing's going to change.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on today. We've enjoyed Agent X and his insight, and I don't think anyone, even the lawyers at Salesforce.com, are going to come after us.
Okay, good. But does that mean I still have a shot at going to see Metallica next time they have one of those meetings?
I think you're going to have to give them the feedback they want to hear.
Well, thank you for having me, Alex.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here.
Okay, and how do they get the magazine, Alex?
ConfidentROI.com. You can subscribe for digital or print, and soon, an audio version. I went into the studios, and I recorded the audio version, and that will be available, but only behind the premium wall.
I
will give you the golden ticket.
And where's the site?
That'll be at ConfidentROI.com. And it'll be at the Podbean, confidentroi.podbean.com soon.
Storage site. Okay. Thanks so much. All right. You've been listening again to the only show dedicated to helping you find the right tool to improve your company. Whether you own it, feed it, or work on it, it's the only show that gives you confident ROI.